and to win the lost to Christ. And so when he comes down and says, as newborn babes, before that he says, laying aside all malice, and he goes through a bunch of things that are supposed to happen to you when you get saved, and they don't happen right away. All of a sudden there comes an awareness in you that you're saved. It's different for different people, but the Lord indicates that we'll know. And some people, it's just hard to get them to finally understand you really are saved. Who do you think this is that's bugging you to death? And what is they bugging you to death to do? And so then he says to those people that are newborn babes, he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And then he tells you something about you personally, and he indicates this is something you ought to be very careful about. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, there's a difference between, I love strawberry shortcake. I love it the way Mom used to make it. She'd have just crust. We didn't have these little muffins and stuff. They're squishy. Ugh. But in any case, she would put crust in it. Just make crust and everything, because those little muffins were expensive. And we were in pretty dire shades financially, so we would go out and pick strawberries in the field, and then she'd mash them up, just mash, and the strawberries, and then she'd pour them in over the crust that she made, and the crust would be all crumbled up in there, and then she'd put them in the oven and heat it a little bit, and then we'd eat it. Oh, it was the most wonderful thing I've ever seen in my life. Well, you know, I used to look at that, and man, listen. It was wonderful. You don't know how wonderful it was when the night I got saved, a burden that had plagued me for 4 years suddenly was gone. Now, I don't know how to explain that, but I put my faith in Jesus. Don't ask me how I did it. Well, I'll tell you how I did it. The Bible says that the Father led me to the Son. And the Bible indicates that if I would call on his name, he would receive me. I believed that. How much did I believe it? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I knew I was saved. And when I walked down that aisle, I knew I was saved as saved could possibly be. And don't ask me how I understood how. I just did what God said, and all of a sudden I was saved. You say, I wasn't saved that way. Well, I'm not. Listen, I don't talk to you. You have to find out yourself. And when I went down to the front and the preacher started trying to lead me to the Lord and everything, Lord, I'd sat there and listened to him under conviction for 4 years. And I was so relieved. I was never so relieved in my life. Oh, I didn't junk over picnic pews, and my salvation is not based on feeling. But when I got down there, he kept saying, now, Tom, listen to me. He'd say, You've been convicted by the Holy Spirit. He said, I need to lead you to the Lord. Well, he started leading me to the Lord, and I said, I like the guy, and he liked me, and everybody called me Tom Mack. And I said, preacher, I said, listen, I've already been saved. I said, I was saved right back there. And I said, I know I'm saved. And he said, no, wait a minute. So he took me down a Roman road. And I went down the Roman road, and he kept taking me down. He said, do you feel saved? Do you feel saved now? And finally I said, I am saved. So finally, about the third time he led me down the road, I wasn't mean or anything. I just didn't know what to do. I said, preacher, I said, I'm already saved. He took me down it one more time. And at the end of that time, I realized I'm never going to convince him. So I said, yes, I feel saved. And so there it was, and I was saved. Well, after that, what happens to all people after they get saved, the devil says, I so don't want him to think he's saved. And so the devil decides that he's going to convince me that I didn't do it the right way. Well, it ain't a question of did I do it the right way. It's a question of does God do it the right way? And Jesus saved me. Been saved ever since. Have you ever doubted your salvation? Yeah. Do you doubt it now? Oh, no. No, 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 no. That's another wonderful feeling. You just keep having wonderful experiences when you try to desire the sincere milk of the Word. When I was about, I desired the sincere milk of the Word until I was about, I was 12 years old. And then all of a sudden when I got saved, I knew I was saved. And after that, a time in my life began when the devil kept saying, you didn't do it right, you didn't do this right and everything. Was your baptism right? Did you know what you were doing when you went into baptismal waters? Did you know this? Did you know that? And maybe you aren't saved, maybe this, maybe that. And there I was. And the only thing I had was the sincere milk of the Word. Well, the preacher kept preaching. They didn't mind preaching Secure the Believer. So once I had the Spirit of God, all I had to hear was that what He said, what the Word said. And when they showed me what the Word said, I said, "Ah, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I'll never doubt it again." You say, well, has the urge ever come on you since then? It came on once in a while after that, but it didn't take me that long. You know why? I believed what He said. I did what He said. He saved me. My salvation is based on His blood. My salvation is based on His work. My salvation is based totally on Him. And when I went into that baptismal waters, I pictured His life, His burial, and His resurrection. And He saved me by His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Well, that settled that. So that's why I preach with such tenacity that you can't lose your salvation. And I teach you how experientially it exists in your life. You say, well, what about the church? Oh, goodness gracious. My grandparents and Ben Bogard and two or three others in the seminary down there, he'd go in and start the radio up, and I'd go in there and sit by him every Sunday afternoon after church, and I'd hear another message. Well, it wasn't long till I began to listen to what Bogart said about the church, and I started researching it. Well, I was already saved. I was already a member of the New Testament church. That happened when I was baptized, and I was baptized into a church that believed in salvation by grace, security of the believer, baptism by immersion by the authority of the local church. Lord's Supper is a closed door to the church. Church is local and visible, and church is not universal. I wanted to know, I didn't know that before I was saved. You say, well, you must not have been listening. Well, you're right. Probably. But it never had an effect. It couldn't have an effect until I understood what salvation is, what baptism is, and what the church is. And when I understood, I accepted it. And I told people about it. And I said, I didn't know that. And so I got interested in the Word of God, been interested in it ever since. And I studied to show myself approved. I want to teach you because I'm the happiest man on this earth right now. I don't care how old I am. I don't care what hurts or doesn't hurt. I don't care that I'm going to die soon. I could care less. I just want to be sure that I serve God by telling people the way, the truth, and the life into the heavenly city. You want to live in the heavenly city? Okay, if you're saved, you're going to be in the new heaven, new earth. You're going to live outside the city. Are you satisfied? Will that be okay? It's not okay with me, not when God has told me that He has given me an opportunity to be in what is called the bride of Christ. All I have to do is prepare myself for the Master. How do you do that? Well, after you get saved, you get scripturally baptized into a local New Testament church that teaches and preaches the Word that was taught by Jesus to the first New Testament church, and you understand that the local church is where God gets His glory. So with all that, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. We're out for school break. So I'm starting off here with this message, and I'll go to wherever I am in it. And I'm going to go all the way from now to Arma to into the millennial reign during the next week. On Sunday morning, I'll preach messages similar to this on Sunday morning. And then I won't preach on Monday and Tuesday of this coming week because our school will be out. And then on Wednesday night, which is our prayer night, we don't dismiss services for that. So I'll preach on that, and I'll talk about this same thing. We're going to take a walk with Jesus from the actual time that He began His walk on the final journey from the Palm Sunday through the first week of the Passover. We're going to hit the Passover probably next Sunday. And then we're going to go on from there, and we're going to finish it right up to the millennial reign. That way I can keep everybody together. And that second week, I'll start teaching stuff during the night, on the nights that I'm supposed to preach, strictly about the thing from now to Armageddon. I'll go all the way through the millennial reign, And I'll be talking about Daniel's 60th week, and I think Daniel's 40th week, Daniel's 70th week. Man alive. Ken, why didn't you correct me?
I did, but you didn't hear.
Oh. I've told you not to act spiritual in here.
What?
I didn't know. When did you get spiritual?
I'm not.
Okay. So we're going to start on this, and I promise you, you'll enjoy it. I'm going to put some work in on it. Matter of fact, I'm going to start this afternoon on the messages that follow. And I've been here a long time. I've taught a long time about it. I'm going to try to incorporate everything into something that can be easily understood. Okay. The saved will soon see the Lord face to face. Okay, let me say something besides that. The saved will see the Lord face to face to face. That's a fact. Bible says so. No doubt about it. So when is the, what's the question? When? I'm going to tell you ahead of time. I'm going to tell you right now. I doubt if we will be here more than 4 years from right now. I've put all that stuff out before. I doubt if we will be here for more than 4 years. I believe that a lot of things are going to happen next year. A lot of things are going to happen thereafter. And I've tried to cover that. I've tried to make it plain. I think we've got about 4 more Easters. But I don't think we've got much more than that. So I'm giving this to you because it's affected me. I want to know more than I do now about him. As a newborn babe, I want to desire to hear his word more and more and more and more. Because I'm a lively stone. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house to offer up sacrifices to Jesus Christ, to offer up sacrifices to God by Jesus Christ our Lord. So you're in the right place. You're in a church. And you are the church that belong to this church that have scriptural baptism. You are the ones. Everybody should come. Because this is something that people had better really start thinking about because it's finally going to happen. Okay. The saved will soon see the Lord face to face. I'm positive of that. When? I doubt if we have 4 more Easters. Maybe 5 on this earth before we're taken out. So there's something that I'm trying to share some things about the Lord, about God Himself, that I didn't know when I was saved, that I didn't know when I graduated from the seminary, that I didn't know when I came up here. And there are things that I know now, and I want to share them with you. And they're not unscriptural. Matter of fact, they'll blend in with what you already believe. The saved will soon see the Lord face to face. That's coming soon. Part 1. Exodus 3, 2, and verse 14. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. Just burned and burned and burned and burned and burned and burned. For all I know, it may still be burning over there in the desert. And in case I don't know that. But the bush was not consumed. And God said unto Moses, now this doesn't leave any doubt as to who this angel of the Lord is. I am that I am. And he said, thus saith thou, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Moses was a very unusual one that God chose. And God makes many, many comparisons between Moses and Christ, particularly as regarding the assembly that met in the wilderness that is called by the writer of Acts, is called the church. And it was a church, an assembly, a parousia. But with the church that we're sitting in here now, we are we are an ecclesia. We're a local visible assembly. But that wasn't a local visible assembly in Israel, but there is a direct relationship between them, even though they are two separate bodies. But the bride will be taken from the faithful out of these two groups. And I'm going to tell you that Jesus will make the decision. From the day you were saved, he's been in you. And if you want to learn more about him, you better repent and turn to the Lord now and ask him to save you. You don't have to be spectacular. You don't have to go through some kind of ritual. You just have to realize that somebody is convicting you, and the devil wouldn't convict you to get saved. And you need to make it right between you and God, and you're the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can save you, and you're the only one whose repentance he will accept. And you're the only one who can be received by him as a full-fledged child of God. And after that, you're perfectly eligible to join the church. If God keeps on convicting you that you need to join the church, well, go ahead and do it. It's not going to hurt your little old body. And the thing that I'm telling you is we don't have much time. I tried very hard to make little cute, eloquent messages, and I finally discovered God said, cut that out. Just start telling them the straight truth. And the Word told me that. He didn't come down and whisper it in my ear. He said, Exodus 33:17-13, And the Lord unto Moses, and I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee. Moses said, show me thy glory. You've never seen his glory. David never saw his glory. The disciples that were on the mountain of transfiguration never saw his glory. No man has ever, no man, no flesh and blood man, no flesh and blood man, no flesh and blood man has ever seen the glory that is in the face of Jesus Christ. But one day we will. One day we shall. He says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my said goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Well, Moses had asked him for something. Show me thy glory. And God told Moses, I am told him. And he said, thou canst not see my face. He saw the bush. He saw it kept burning. But he didn't see the glory of God. He'd be dead if he had. God has always concealed himself in a way that we don't see him clearly as he is, because we couldn't take it. And when God talks about us and revealing himself to us, then he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, right around here, that thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, when I shall put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts. Now you can look up those words, and he means his rear, his back, his, you know, top of his head to the back of his heels. But my face shall not be seen. It's what he says, and that's what he means. And this gives me another excited reason to go to heaven. I'm very excited about this. Because I didn't know that when I saved. I didn't know that when I went to Missionary Baptist Seminary. Oh, I knew the scriptures. But I didn't know what they meant. Except what they said. Well, that's all I needed to know. But the thing was, they needed to be put together. God's the only one who can do that. And I have the mind of Christ. You do too. And you can put them together just as well as I can if God wants to reveal it to you. This is the only thing I know about it up to this point. However, Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. How many times in the Bible does it say God is light? Oh, quite a few. Count them. You say, but that can't mean God is light. Yes, it does. Listen, we don't really know what light is. We don't know whether it's a wave or whether it's a proton. We don't know. It's strange and it's mysterious. They have a lot of laws regarding it. If it's a wave, it'll do this, 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 this. If it's a proton, it'll do this, 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 this. And sometimes it'll do both of them at the same time. What is it? Well, could it be latent energy? Could it be that God created the heaven and the earth when He spoke it into existence? Could it be that God is loving and kind and merciful and full of light? Could it be that darkness is exactly what it's supposed to be, the absence of light? Could it be that that the devil is darkness, and that where that darkness is, God does not exist? Can it be when God lights things up in our hearts, then we can just choose either the light or the darkness? The Pharisees had chosen darkness, but they thought it was light. And it says, woe unto you that think that darkness is light. He condemned them for it. I know who light is. It's God. I know who lives inside me. I know who's guiding me right now. I know I'm saying the right thing. Because, man, you don't know how long I considered these messages. You don't know how long I prayed and I said, Lord, if I'm not supposed to know it, I don't want to know it. But, Lord, if I'm supposed to know it, help, help, help. I think what I'm teaching is correct. You say, well, why? I can't wait to see him. I talked to a deacon yesterday that I knew for a long time. And I said, do you remember when you used to say that if you knew where heaven was, where the heavenly city was in the New Jerusalem, you'd try to go afoot? We laughed about it because we both believe it. And a lot of old wounds were healed, and I was glad for that. And so I just, you know, it makes life more wonderful when old wounds are healed in your heart. And you can forgive those who trespass against you. I haven't lived 43 years and not learned that. He says, it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. I've seen him here by the writings. I know who he is. And I love him because he's let me grieve him, he's let me quench him, and he's let me resist him. How can someone do that who is perfect and snow white in righteousness? That's what you have to be in order to always be completely forgiving. You say, when's that going to happen? If you're still alive when he changes you, at the instant that he comes, when you come up out of the grave and he changes you. I used to not want to be like Jesus. You say, oh, I've always wanted to be like Jesus. Don't tell me that. Man, I didn't want to be like Jesus. I wanted to go to heaven and be like me. You say, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I know. But now I understand my flesh and blood. It's not been changed. God was never after the sacrifices of the Israel animal blood. He wanted them to do it so that finally they would give up and come to Him and be honest with Him. Like Adam and Eve, come out of hiding. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I was afraid to go to Him because I was afraid He'd change me into something I didn't want to be. That's how the children of darkness are. But once I came and that light shone inside me, I knew I was saved because I had never in my life known love for anyone except those who showed love to me. I got saved and I knew it. That's why the Holy Spirit, we're told in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit testifies it in our heart. Did He testify that in your heart? I struggled with this for years. And finally I got saved. I just gave up. And I came out of hiding before myself and before God. And that's the night He saved me. Did I know all that was happening? No. But after all these years of living and understanding Him, I love Him. And I love you. And it's genuine. It's real. And it's sincere. It's not put on. You say, well, you mean God tries to teach us to love? Yes. How? Phileo first. Peter phileoed Him. But God, in the life of Peter, He taught Peter to agape Him. And when Peter died, he knew how to agape Him. And there are some, I think, that go to heaven that just can't wait for that rapture. Who are they? All those disciples were martyred. They're right around the throne. And Peter, you know what Peter sang along with them? Oh, Lord, how long? How long? With the rest of them. You know, He's saying the same thing back to them that He said to Peter. He's telling them, rest for a little season. We are now resting for that little season. We're in the time. We're in the fifth seal. We are in the fifth seal. And whatever you're going to do in your life to let God change your life, let Him do it. You say, how do I do that? The same way Jesus said to the office of the Father, He said, if it be possible, let this be removed from me, and Thy will be done. And He went to the cross as a man, perfect man without sin, and willfully and with purpose took my sins in His own body on the tree. That's why I love the song. In my hand no price I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling. You know what the wonderful thing about that is? I don't have anything but the cross. I don't have anything in the cross except His righteousness. I don't have to worry about hell. I've quenched Him. I resisted Him. I grieved Him. He still loves me. I've learned how to love from Him. He's taught me. So many people in our churches never learn how to love. They try, but I thank God I found it. The only rest in Christ that is lasting is to just say, Lord, Thy will be done. And to realize that He holds you in His hand. And He will never leave you. And He will never forsake you. And His church is a local visible body. It is. If you aren't a member of that church, you need to be. Because that's His will. You say, where can I find one of them? Well, one of them's here. They're scattered all over. Find one of them that teaches salvation by grace, security of the believer, baptism by immersion, by the authority of the local church, the Lord's Supper is the closed door in the church is local and visible, and that the church is not universal. And join it. We'd love to see you join here. We'd love that. Wouldn't we, Robert? Wouldn't we, Ken? Any church member here that would object to it? Any church member that says, I sure hope they don't join here? You haven't learned to love yet. But I think everyone here has. We're on your side. And the spirit that's bothering you, we're on His side too. And we're His church and we're His body. And I'm one of His pastors. Don't do it for me. Do it for Him. This is His body. He said, and when they had made a molten calf and said, this is my God, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt, and had wrought great provocations, yet in thy manifold Moses forsook them not in the wilderness. You know, the night I got saved, I got saved. I don't have any doubt about it that night in my heart. And it just, the Lord just let me know I'm saved. I felt a tremendous relief. I don't know what you felt. That's between you and the Lord. But I felt a tremendous relief. And I knew it was Him. And the Bible said it should be that way. But I didn't learn that until after I got saved. But what else could I do? I was saved. And I went forward and I told Him. And that was it. Yet in thy manifold mercies. You know, when I came up here, I didn't have any... I just didn't understand a lot of things. You know what I've learned? I still don't understand a lot of things. But I do know this. If you're saved and you'll seek thee, and you'll seek the milk of the Word, if you'll keep taking it in and won't fight against His will when He convicts you and will make a decision in your life based on the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit when He moves you, you'll never regret it. I won't guarantee you trouble won't increase, but you'll never regret it. In thy manifold mercies. You know, when I used to think of mercy, grace, compassion, paideo, all those things that had to do with changes in you and in myself. What did I always think of? Salvation. Always. When I was saved, that's all I ever thought about. But I tell you what. I sat here before God with my head bowed. And I tell you that it is all by His grace. Salvation, the baptisms, the yielding to His Spirit and working in one of His churches. And I must answer to God for what I say. It is all by grace. And friend, when you realize that, you'll understand when Abraham became the friend of God. When you see what He's done in your life before you were saved, when you were saved, and after you were saved, and you begin to want to be like Him, and you still have confusion in your life about so many things, you just need to realize that. I didn't have to get resaved. I had to be converted like Peter. And he said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I've been converted. I know that it's all by grace. You say, well, you had to do something.
The word is yield. The word is yes. The word is teach me thy word. Lord, strengthen me to do thy will. That's what grace is. And you wouldn't be able to do that if he hadn't come to live in you. So just put your hands up in the air and say, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Do you have a trouble doing that? Just tell him you want to be like that. And he won't believe that you're leading, that you're losing. He won't believe that you're lying. He says, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed from them, but departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither did the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way they should go. Oh my goodness, look at the advantage you've got. Look at the advantage you've got. They had to follow a cloud at night when they changed position. And the cloud stayed there and they saw it. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. You have seen him. The disciples have seen him. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withholdest not thy manna from their mouth, and givest them water for their thirst. How long has he put up with you? How long has he kept you? How long will he keep you? He's worth dying for. More than worth dying for. But he doesn't ask you to die for him. He says, be willing to. And most, he has a different purpose. Because there's a lot more things in life that you can do than die for him. Yea, 40 years did thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. That proved to them he's God. They had plenty of proof. Your proof is better. It's a better covenant. And yet, you seem to have the same difficulty as I do and tend to follow the same path. Look at how many people are falling away from the truth. Look at our missionary Baptist churches. We know one thing. We have the truth. We may be hard to get along with. We may be mean and snarly. Sometimes we may show ourselves. I'd wish we hadn't. But we know the truth. And if we're not learning and if we're departing the truth, how are the other people in the world ever going to give it a fair chance to hear him? John 14, 1 through 11. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I preached this about 1,800 times here. I'm just going to flip this over. You're going to say, oh my goodness, he's going to go way over. Wrong. I'm not going to go way over. I've preached verses in here from... I've preached Genesis 3, 5, 21. Lord, in mercy, those of you that are more gifted with a vocabulary and with the ability to speak properly than I'll ever be. And you listen to that. I watched you. You listen to it. You know everything about there. You know that Peter, James, John, you know that the two went out and he said to Thomas, you've seen me. That's what he told him. Then he went along with the next disciple and he said, you've seen me in this same narrative. You can read it for yourself. Then all of a sudden, let's go down to 1 John 3, 1 through 9. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, that's who you are. Now, N-O-W, it means just what it says. Are we the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be there. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That'll be the first time. When you get on the other side of the flesh. that you get to see His face. You will not get to see His face in the glory of God because you're not equipped for it. And only God has the ability to equip you for it, and He's going to measure your life. He lives in you. Oh, you get to see the glory of God, but how much of it will you get to see? For we shall see Him as He is. Well, now let's see. What is that? But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What is that? The hope. Faith grows to hope. And hope grows to love. And you can grow to love in one of God's churches. If you submit your heart and your will to Him and make an effort, you say, well, what if I fail? It is better to fail and reach the goal and barely miss it than to not even to try, because that's a big place and there are a lot of places to live on it, and there's a lot of different garments that God has waiting. That when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope, what is the hope He's just finished talking about? But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope, that's what the hope is, purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Jesus. Even as He. Jesus. Jesus. Even as He is pure. The only reason I'm pure is this. He imputed His righteousness to me the night I was saved. I knew I was saved. I didn't know how, but I knew it then I was. How did I know? The Father led me to Him. The Bible says so. And the Scripture says that I would know. I would know. He said the Holy Spirit bears testimony in your heart. He did. You say, did you know that the night you got saved? No. But Lordy mercy, I know it now. I know it now. What are you going to do with it? You going to let Him grow in you? You going to let Him change you? Do you like yourself the way you are? I'm telling you. He says, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. What was purpose in his life? He says, and every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He, Jesus, is pure. You're looking at a man that has a carnal nature in him. But you're looking at a man that has the purity and the righteousness and the goodness that is in Jesus Christ. I can follow Him if I want, or I can tell Him no. You say, well, what if you don't follow Him up to what He considers a standard to be righteous that won't be getting in the city? Don't wait to find out. Just make up your mind you're going to try the best you can to submit to His Spirit, do what He wants. Don't commit fornication that Robert was talking about. Don't have evil thoughts. When you have them, confess them. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The only reason I'm pure is because Jesus is pure. He's the only purity I have. He's the only righteousness I have. I don't have any other of my own. It's His. But He gave it to me. I bruised Him. The Lord have mercy. Have I mistreated Him? But He loves me. Don't tell me you haven't mistreated Him. But He still goes on loving you. That ought to prove to you how much He loves you. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth against the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. I'm still sinning. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins. Plural. For in Him is no sin. Will I ever yank Him out of myself? You can forget that. Will He ever let me yank Him out of Himself? Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth not, whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. I know Him. What do I know about Him? He took my sins in His own body on the tree. He lives in me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Little children, let no man deceive this, that deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He, Jesus, is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. If I still had sin that He had not taken away, then I would be hell bound. But He took away all my sin. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. Jesus, the seed of God is in me. It's a perfect seed. It's Jesus. It's the Spirit of Jesus. And Jesus is God. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. You're looking at a man that's saved, knows he's going to heaven, knows that he has only the righteousness of God, knows he has no other righteousness of God, also knows that he cannot overcome, but Jesus has already overcome for him, and he trusts in the fact that Jesus overcame, and he has committed to me to be the overcomer that he overcame for. Genesis 3:15 through 21. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between the devil's seed and the woman's seed, and between thy seed and her seed. The seed was Jesus. It shall bruise thy head, it crushed the power of Satan completely, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He came and walked on the earth with his feet and sandals, and sometimes barefoot, and he crushed the power of Satan. He does not have the power to keep me. He does not have the power to get me back. And once Jesus took away my sins, it was forever. So why shouldn't I serve him in this church? Why shouldn't I pastor this church? Why shouldn't I do what I was called for? The answer is, I should. And he has equipped me to do so. Unto God and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and cloak. The only covering I have is the blood of Christ. In my hand, no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. This is where I belong. This is where I try to submit my will to his. It's in a local, visible body called a New Testament church. Robert, would you dismiss us?